And I thank you for the privilege of being here at New Covenant Baptist Church. Pastor Emmanuel was very gracious in his introduction, and I also hope that you will make use of the great resource of Amika and Ihagu, who are great disciple makers and witnesses for the Lord. We'll be looking at Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, God's blueprint for our children. God's blueprint for our children. Let's stand and ask God to bless the teaching of His holy, His eternal, His inerrant written word, shall we? Oh Lord God, this is your holy word. We are your servants. Give us understanding that we might know your testimonies. You have prayed, O Lord, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Use your holy, eternal, inerrant, written word to set us apart this morning to your service and to your glory. Show us great and mighty things which we do not know from your word. The sower sows the word. Let not your word go out this morning and return void, but accomplish that purpose for which you are sending it out and for which you are gathering us together. Protect us from Satan, O Lord, who will snatch your word, make it empty. Protect us from a wrong reaction to difficulties and persecutions and discouragements which make our hearts hard and unresponsive. Protect us from the world's cares and the delight of wealth and the passion of other interests which enter in and choke your word, making it fruitless. Rather, plow up now the hard ground of our hearts, O Lord. Give us good soil that the sown seed of your word would send roots downward and bear fruit upward. Unsheathe now the sword of your spirit. Cut to the dividing point of bone and marrow, soul and spirit. Judge this morning the thoughts and the intentions of each individual which you have gathered here. Spread your word before us as a banquet table, O Lord. Grant grace that we might drink of the sweet milk and eat of the rich meat of the great doctrines of your word. Give us the heart of the prophet who called to you. Thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. O Lord, we live in a dark and wicked age. Broad is the way, and many families are on it, which leads to destruction. Make your word a lamp to our feet. Make your word a light to our path. Show us that narrow way that you would have us walk. And Lord, as we run in the paths of your commandments, enlarge our hearts, that in loving you more, we might be more obedient to your holy word. Drop your word against our lives this morning as a plumb line, O Lord. Grant grace that we might see how we deviate from its high and its holy purposes. Make your word to us this morning a mirror, O Lord. Grant grace that we might not be as those who look and forget as they go away, but make us act of your holy word. Oh Lord, because of our fealty to you, because of our undying devotion to your Son, our resurrected Savior, we pledge to you this morning our total submission to your holy, eternal, inerrant, written word. And we pledge to you this morning our unquestioning obedience to all of its commands. In the name of our Lord and our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. May God give us grace to obey His written word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mothers, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it might be well with you, and you might live long on the earth. In this passage, God takes authority away from the parents. Now you're asking, John, how can that be? How can God be taking authority away from me when He is telling my children to obey me? Well, very simply, this passage, God speaks to your children. God commands children to obey their parents. And I do not know of a mother or a father who do not think that they have the authority to allow disobedience. You tell your child, eat your greens. Your child does not feel like eating the greens. You make excuses. They missed their nap. Maybe they're not feeling well. And you allow your child to disobey. You tell your child to come. Your child does not come. You have to go chasing after little Hezekiah. You allow that. You tell your child to stay in bed. Your child lies in bed and cries or gets out of bed. You allow that. You tell your child to pick up their toys. They don't immediately stop what they are doing and pick up their toys. And you allow that. But you do not have the authority to allow that. God, the Holy Spirit, has commanded that children shall obey their parents. And you do not have the authority to make an excuse. They are tired. They are not feeling well. We are at grandma's house. We are at auntie's house. We are at church. We are in a different environment. They missed their nap. These are all excuses that you have made that place your child in a wrong relationship with God. If God has commanded you to do something and you do not do that, what is it? It's sin. And if God has commanded your children to obey you and you allow them to disobey you, what is that? It's sin. And we taught our children this phrase, I will obey mommy quickly the first time. I will obey daddy quickly the first time. You wonder why your children go off to the university and don't continue in their relationship with God. When you do not make obedience to earthly father and mother important, why should they transfer that to God? They are simply continuing in the way you train them. The Bible says, train up a child. to go. I want to go to Jaws. What direction do I travel? I travel north. If I travel east, will I get to Jaws? Will I ever get to Jaws if I travel east? No. What if I give the time? Now will I get to Jaws? What if I give the miracle time? What if I spend the night in prayer? What if I get some false apostle or prophet to lay hands on my car? Now will I get to Jaws? No. You will only arrive at the direction you are going. And if you are not personally taking responsibility to raise obedient children, you will never arrive with obedient adult children. And that is your responsibility. Mothers and fathers, you do not have to have children. But if you choose to have them, fulfill your responsibility. You are but a steward of these children for a short time. In about 17 to 20 years, they are going to assume their position in society and leave. You have a window of opportunity. You can choose many things. You can choose when to go to school and stop. You can choose your job and you can quit and take another job. You can choose a church and change your church and come back. You can take up a sport and lay it aside and come back. But you cannot choose when you raise your children. Your children are on a high-speed train, and it goes around its circuit once every year. You are either on that train training them, or you are watching it go by. But you can never say, I think we'll do year five over again, because they turn six. You either fulfilled your responsibility, or you missed it. But you can never go back. Take responsibility for your children. God has commanded them to obey you. You do not have more authority than God. You think you do, but you don't. You see, children are to obey. Obey is not a difficult concept, is it? Number one, God has taken authority away from you. Number two, obedience is not a difficult concept. You have a little two-year-old child. You say, come. What is obedience? What is it? They come. What is disobedience? They don't come. Your child is watching TV. You say, turn off the in a calm, normal voice, you say, turn off the TV, come to the table. What is obedience? They immediately get up, turn off the TV, and come to the table. You say, stay in bed. What is obedience? They stay in bed. You say, get out of bed. What is obedience? They get out of bed. You say, eat your greens. Eat what is on your plate. What is obedience? They eat it. You say, hush. What is obedience? You say, speak. What is obedience? It's not a difficult concept, is it? And yet we make excuses, but God doesn't. God expects obedience. And He expects parents to keep their children in a right relationship with Him. Has your five-year-old been able to do this Bible study? Has your three-year-old memorized this passage? as your two-year-old master the exposition of Scripture? No. Your children trust you to keep them in a right relationship with God. And that is your responsibility. Daddy comes home. She's fixed a wonderful cake. And we're going to go over to Grandma's and eat the cake. And what do the children do? What do they do? Well, the child takes the cell phone and goes into the bathroom. Grandma, this is the sell them on the street, do they? You bring ice cream home, your children are all excited, you give them all the whole ice cream, so your daughter takes a spoonful, feeds it to the dog, and waits to see if their eyes are open. Does she do that? Why? She trusts you. And your children trust you to keep them in a right relationship with God. Are you worthy of that trust? I don't know. I don't know what happens when you ask your child to come. If your child does not come immediately, you are not worthy of that trust. I don't know what happens when you ask your child to do their homework. If they do not sit down and do their homework, you are not worthy of that trust. I do not know what happens when you ask your child to stay in bed. I don't know what happens when you ask your child to sit still at church or sit still in the doctor's office. If they do not obey you, you are not worthy of that trust. You see, God says children are to obey their parents. Helpless parents are my great thorn in the flesh. I've got a university degree. I've got a career. Maybe I served in the military. I work hard. I know how to run a computer. Helpless parents. Oh, sisters, pray for me. Oh, I'm so persecuted. I don't know why God didn't bless me with good children. Oh, pray for me. When I'm talking to my son, he just walks away. And sometimes he comes home and he has alcohol, tobacco. Gets out of bed and sleeps with anybody he or she wants to. When your child was just 2-3 years old and you would call them, your child would run away and you would chase them. And now your child is 15, 16, 17, and they walk away when you talk to them. when you had a little child, you allowed that child to eat whatever it wanted. They got to choose what they put in their mouth. And now they're teenagers, and they get to choose what they put in their mouth. When your children were little, you allowed them to poke and torment each other. And now they have no respect for the human body, and they put their hands anywhere they want to. You know why, don't you? You allowed your child, when you were holding your child, to scream at your face. Now your child argues with you and raises their voice at you. See, the Bible says, raise up a child in the way he should go. And with all that behavior, instead of taking the time to train the child in correct behavior, you allowed the child to go anywhere it wanted to go, and it's still going in that direction. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a mother or father soweth, that shall they reap in their children. My paraphrase. And no amount of fasting and casting out demons and triple tithe and miracle blessing and running to this or that false prophet or false apostle to get your miracle will change what you are doing in terms of obedience to the Word of God. Because you will never reap a different crop than the one you are sowing. So I asked him, well, are you watering it? Oh, yeah, this is Houston. We have plenty of water. It's like Legos. Oh, okay, well, do you have good soil? Oh, I not only have good soil, I purchased even better soil. Well, do you do furrows? Oh, yes. I used to watch my father plant corn. I know how to plant corn. Well, you know, is it in an open area? Maybe you're planting it under trees. No, it's just like you. It's an open field. Well, I don't know why you don't have corn. So watch me, and I plant my corn. Is that how you plant corn? Yes. I say, well, do you mind if I watch you? And he says, fine. So I go to watch him, and he very carefully plants okra. Will he ever need corn? What if he gives the triple tithe? What if he pays for the miracle blessing? What if he gives some false so-called apostle or prophet to throw the demon of Omar out of those flesh? Will he never be born? No. You will never reap a different crop than you sow. And if you sow negligence and irresponsibility, if you choose to be a non-resident parent, if you do not come home and assure your children's success, if you send them off and let other people raise them, that is what you will reap. If you sow materialism and standard of living and pride of education and you sell your children for those things, allowing the state to raise them, that is what you will reap. I am so frustrated with helpless parents who know exactly why their children behave the way they do. It's their children are just too much work, and their children are just too distracted from their careers and their pursuit of materialism. And they just don't have time. They work too long and too hard to achieve a certain level of education and career to be sidetracked by children. But the Bible says Children, obey your parents. And you can't obey someone who's not there. And you can't expect obedience from someone whom you have not trained. It's not wait till your father gets home. Mother, if your child disobeys you, you must correct the child. But that presupposes mother knew that. My wife has 2 degrees from one of the most prestigious universities in the U.S. One is in French, the other is in education, and she was just talking to her 94-year-old mother recently about how she had always wanted and assumed that she would be a translator at the United Nations because she tested out at this university as extremely gifted in language and translation. And when she married me and we had a child, she quit her career in language and for 17 years devoted herself to raising the 4 children. It wasn't until our youngest child was established in school that she went back to being a school teacher so that she could be at home when the children came home. And you might say to me, do you think her father spent all of that money and time educating her so that she could be a mother? I hope you know God heard you when you said that. You were the woman who wept and prayed and begged God that you might be a mother, and now you're demeaning it. Don't demean my wife. I praise God that she had a father who gave her sophistication and intelligence and education so that she could be an integral part in raising 4 sophisticated, educated children who love Jesus and serve Him. They were faithful and obedient in church as children. In high school, they all served as president of the Christian Student Union in their high school. They were all served on the youth council. They all served on the youth praise team. And they all represented the youth in the evangelism explosion program where they went out and witnessed. They went away to the university. They all graduated at the top of their class in high school. They went away to the university. They immediately joined their church and got involved in a campus organization. 2 with New Life Ministries, 2 with the Navigators. My oldest child went to the Middle East as a missionary with New Life. My son went to South Africa with the Navigators. My 3rd child to East Asia with New Life. And my 4th child to Zambia with the Navigators. On their return, they all joined churches and married Christian spouses and are raising their children in the church. But we went north. I made sacrifices in my career, and my wife stepped out of her career for 17 years. And we reaped the crop we sowed. So don't say, God, my children are not worth the sacrifice I made for my education and my career. I'm not going to demean myself as a mother and raise them as if I was some village girl. And then say, God, give me a miracle. I do need children to love you. The first prayer is heard, not the second. My wife is not some village girl. She is a Sarah. She is a Rachel. She is a Deborah. She is a Ruth. She is a godly Christian mother. She is a Priscilla. She did not love the world or the things of this world. She loved her husband and her children and her Lord Jesus Christ For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give himself as a ransom for many. She gave herself as a ransom for her children. Who are you giving your soul as a ransom to? Some pagan boss. Some pagan career. Some pagan title. Or your children and your husband. Fathers, when did raising children become women's work? That's not your culture. It's not biblical culture. You say, my children obey me. Well, sure they obey you. They're asleep when you get up in the morning, and they're asleep when you come home at night. It's like the man who had a dog, and the dog was lying. And he says, oh, my dog is very obedient. Lie. And then he said to the dog, stay. And then the dog fell asleep, and he said, sleep. See, I have an obedient dog. Fathers need to come home at night and be the spiritual leader of their children. It is not a title which is declared. It is a title which is earned. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So our children must have confidence that we love Jesus and the church more than family, tribal, and cultic tradition. You take a stand, and they obey you in the Lord. They do it because it is right. The Greek word is diakios. That thing which is righteous. That thing which places a person in a right relationship with God. Jesus said that we are to be baptized because it fulfills all righteousness. God says your children are to obey you because it is right. And when you allow your child to disobey you, four sins occur. First, the child sins against God. Second, the child sins against you. Third, you sin against the child. And fourth, you sin against God. It's not a little thing to tell your child to come and your child not come. And then you laugh at God like Sarah did. God told Sarah she was going to have a baby. She laughed. God tells mothers their children are to be obedient. And when their children disobey, you all laugh together, don't you? Think it's funny. God's not laughing. You're grieving the Holy Spirit because of your disobedience and your negligence of your children. See? It is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Is it honoring to be chasing your child in the market? Is it honoring to be holding a screaming child in your arms? Is it honoring to have your child spitting food out or refusing to eat your food? Is it honoring to have to drag your child out of bed and drag your child to bed? No. So you should be thinking, how will this behavior affect them later? Will a child who sits still be successful in school? Yes. Then teach your child to sit still at the dinner table. Most churches have children's broke church during the worship service because the children are so rebellious, so disrespectful, so unmannerly that they cannot sit still during worship service. And then you wonder why they don't go to church when they go to college. Because it was playtime. Don't do that. My children, from the time they were out of nursery, sat next to us quietly, and respectfully am participating. But that doesn't surprise me. You send your children off to playtime. You send your children off to boarding school. You send your children off to the university, and then you want to be the victim. See, the Bible says that fathers are not to provoke their children to anger. That does not mean that you're not to make your children unhappy. Otherwise, you would never give them their vaccinations, would you? What it means is that you do not do actions that you know will precipitate anger because of what you're doing, not because of your training. What type of things provoke anger? And hypocrisy? Hypocrisy provokes anger. How can you expect your children to take notes in church when you don't take notes? How can you expect your children to memorize scripture when you don't memorize scripture? How can you expect your children to be Bible readers when you don't read your Bible? Little Hezekiah thinks, you know, I want to be just like that. So he goes in the refrigerator and he takes the juice out to drink it. The mother says, what are you doing? Oh, daddy does it. Well, if you get a job, you buy a refrigerator, you put juice in it, you can drink it. Now you have to pass. It's time to go to bed. Well, daddy gets to watch the World Cup. Well, you get a job, you get an apartment, you get a TV, you take responsibility for your life, you can stay up and watch World Cup when you're a daddy. Right now you go to bed. Okay, they're going to church. Can I drive? No, you can't drive. You have to be old enough to drive, you have to have a good education, a job, and be able to buy a car. Then you can drive. Okay, so little Johnny, little Hezekiah, wants to stay up and watch the World Cup. He wants to drive a car, and he wants to not have to memorize scripture because he was made to do that as a child, but daddy never did it. He doesn't want to have to do Bible reading because he was made to do that as a child, but he doesn't see daddy doing it. He doesn't want to have to do his Sunday school lesson because he was made to do it as a child, but daddy didn't do it. And he doesn't want to have to hold the flag and give the pledge because when he was in vacation Bible school, they had to do all these service things and as a youth, but daddy doesn't serve in the church, and now he's grown up and just like daddy. Gentlemen, is that the direction you are modeling for your children? If you are, that's the direction they will go. You are to discipline them and instruct them. That presupposes a plan, doesn't it? You are to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What is your plan? If you don't have one, it is not happening. Even before Eleanor was pregnant, we sat down and made a plan for our children's success, that it would be well with them and they would live long on the earth. What is the plan you are working from? What is your plan for home? Are they learning to cook? Are they learning to clean? Or you are raising little colonial masters who abuse the house help? And I have been in the homes of pastors and Christians and church leaders when the parents are away and the house help is there, and I have seen their children treat that house help as bad or worse than any colonial master ever treated your ancestors. Bring me cocoa. This is not hot. Take it back. We had house help that came in once a week. My children called her Mrs. Johnson because she was a Christian woman and worthy of Christian respect. They did not ask her to do a single thing, and she never did any of their chores because they weren't little lords and ladies. They were my children learning to be servants of the Lord. She was there to help Eleanor and Eleanor only. And if they ever asked her to do anything or treated her irrespectfully, they were immediately disciplined. And we paid her on time, and we gave her extra on her birthday and her work anniversary. And ladies and gentlemen, God the Holy Spirit says through the Apostle James, the pay that you have withheld is crying out to the Lord of the harvest. And if you have not paid your house help every cent on time every week, then you, like Zacchaeus, pay her four times in interest, and you repent from the sin of slavery and keeping that poor relative, that poor village girl, chained to your home because you owe her so much. You repent from that. And you tell your children to call her Mrs. And if you have a doorman, you tell them to call her Mr. And they don't serve children because they're adults. They help you. So I close begging you to reject the four sins of colonialism in the family. The first is how you treat your house help and allow your children to treat your house help. A great sin of colonialism. Don't repeat that. God will have no more mercy on you than he had on your colonial masters. The second is sending your children away to boarding schools rather than educating them yourself and taking responsibility. And we all know how that worked out for Europe, don't we? It's full of drug addicts and homosexuals. I praise God that the two sins of colonialism after the American Revolution, God saved America from. And that was house help rather than wives taking responsibility for their homes and boarding schools. You never see that in America. Number three, trading your children for material possessions. Because you know you, the mother, is not working out of the home because you'll starve to death. You know that, don't you? It's for that second car. It's for that big screen TV. It's for that nice vacation and that big house. It has nothing to do with the well-being of your children because they lie in bed and cry at night because their mommy is not there for them when they have a sore throat, when they have an infection, when somebody bullies them, when a teacher is mean to them or sexually abuses them. You're not there. So you're not sending them away to boarding school for them. It's for you. And number four, neglecting the training of your children, but rather letting it just happen. Don't do those things. It failed once and it will fail again. Rather, let's do this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Raise children who honor their father and mother, for it is the first commandment with a promise. Make decisions that will result in it being well with your children and long on the earth based on your plan. And fathers, let's come home, dads, and be involved in the life of their children. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. And you do that by being non-resident. The most sullen and angry children I know are children who never see their father, or whose father are hypocrites, and they're made to do things every day in church that their so-called church-going father, because he's there on Sunday, never does. But bring them up in the discipline, require obedience, it's hard work, and instruction of the Lord. Take responsibility. I close with this statement, fathers. When your child is an adult, every aspect of their life which they can say, this was success, this was success, this was success, they should be able to say, because my father was there with me, helping me. My father was, I was good at football because of my father. I was good at mathematics because of my father. I'm a good reader because of my father. I know the word of God because of my father. I've been asked to be a leadership in school because of my father, leadership in the church because of my father. Now I'm able to go to the university because of my father. My Father. May God add His blessing to His holy word. In Christ's name I pray. Okay, tell the truth. You didn't think I was going to stop, did you?